Good morning. My name is Dean Suzuki, and I wanted to welcome you to this week's MTC Studio broadcast. Today, we're in the third part of a four-part series about Office 365 and the Trusted Cloud. 2 weeks ago, my colleague Mike Giannotti talked about the security controls that we built into the Office 365 service. And if you missed that session, I'd highly recommend viewing it. It's available on demand on the website. And last week, my colleague Grady Boss talked about how we can protect your identity in the cloud in Office 365, and that's also available on demand at the same site that you registered for this session. This week, we'll be talking about the controls that you can implement to secure your data in Office 365 and also put together, apply your policies to implement them in the Office 365 cloud. But before we jump into it, a couple of logistical items. If you have any questions throughout the session, please feel free to enter them in to the Q&A manager on the right-hand side of your screen. You can go ahead and enter those questions in, and we'll be monitoring that channel throughout the session. With that, I'd like to introduce my colleague, Ali Mazahiri, who will be joining us today. Welcome, Ali.
Thank you, Dean, for having me.
Hey, Ali, can you give the audience a quick background of what you cover?
Sure. Like you, I'm working at MTC in Irvine as an MTC architect. Been with Microsoft for 10 years, heavily focused on SharePoint and collaboration tools, and also recently on Azure Pass. Glad to be here with you.
Thanks, Ali. Really appreciate you joining today, and he'll be joining us in the show later on. But with that, let's go ahead and jump into today's presentation. Maybe you can just type in yes into the Q&A. I'll just kind of look over here. Maybe people are responding, if not. But anyway, one of the things we're seeing across our customers is that, people are capturing, companies are capturing, collecting more and more data each year. It seems like the amount of storage required is growing in each year, and how do you manage all that data is becoming a bigger and bigger problem. The next starting statistic is down here in the lower left-hand corner. One of the things that we've noticed from these surveys is that 87% of senior managers admit to regularly uploading their work files to personal email or cloud accounts. So I was wondering, in your environments, are you guys noticing that as well? Do you notice maybe some of your folks using personal accounts to store or email files out? This is, could be quite startling because a lot of times those free services, if you read them, the little descriptions, one of the conditions of getting the free service is that that company can mine that data for maybe advertising purposes or for other purposes there for their own use. At Microsoft, with our Office 365 service, we will never mine your data. Your data is your data, and we take great lengths to make sure the privacy or data is kept intact. But again, these personal free services, it's not quite sure what's the conditions of usage there. And the other part of these cloud accounts, I don't know if people are using, a lot of our corporate customers are finding out that they have employees who are actually uploading their files to these free file sharing services. Again, how secure are those environments? If you attended our show about 2 weeks ago, you would have learned that Microsoft, we invest billions of dollars each year into our infrastructure. We have huge teams of people monitoring the threat landscape, and we actually spend a huge number of hours making sure our services are secure. And we constantly are undergoing reviews and testing. We have red, blue team testing to make sure our services are secure. That's the type of investments we're making to make sure your data is secure. Something that, I'm not sure about all the other cloud vendors out there. But again, it's something to keep in mind. What's also startling is this third statistic on the right. 58% of folks who have been surveyed have accidentally sent information to the wrong person. Just checking the question and answers here. But that's a startling statistic as well. I don't know if you've seen this, but I don't know if you've read in the paper and the scenarios where maybe if someone has forwarded an email and typed in, for example, maybe the name Bob, and just hit autocomplete and hit send, and realize that that Bob is actually someone outside the company versus someone that you intended to internally. Or maybe you forwarded an email to a distribution list, and that distribution list actually had people who are outside the company. And now you have the scenario where information that was internal got leaked outside. So how do we help protect against these scenarios? So one of the things we want to cover today is how we can help you protect against those scenarios. The first one is with providing the ability to alert users to potential data leakage through email or file sharing. And we have a whole suite of technologies with our data loss prevention technologies. These data loss prevention technologies can alert the end user to say, hey, it looks like you're sending data that's maybe a sensitive nature out externally, or you can pop up and prevent that from happening, or it could require encryption, or it could outright block those types of emails. The second aspect of helping you protect your data is we provide services to help you encrypt that data. And we provide three types of encryption services inside Office 365. The first one is, if you're going to email, I don't know if your business requires you to collaborate with external recipients, for example, your customers. A lot of times our customers who are working in the financial services industry, they can't email personal PII information out to their customer without being encrypted. With that Office 365 message encryption, we provide a service where now you can take that email that you would send out to your customers and encrypt it with Office 365 message encryption. And now, and they can receive it, it'll be in an encrypted format, and that data won't be transferred over the internet in the clear. And with Office 365 message encryption, there's no assumption of what mail platform that person's using. So it could be a person on Gmail, Yahoo, any of those. We can't make any assumption what our customers are using, so that's what this service is made for. The second type of encryption service we provide is something called Information Rights Management Services. What this allows is not only encryption, but also allows you to apply policy to that email or that file. To say, for example, maybe you don't want people to be able to print that document or to email and forward that document. So not only is that information encrypted, but also now we can apply a level of policy protection around that, so you can specify what actions can be taken on that file or email. Now this requires a little bit of application understanding of what's in that file to be able to enforce that policy. So because of that, Information Rights Management Services is really geared for internal collaboration amongst internal employees and with trusted partners. So ideally, these folks are using the Office suite, and they understand those policy requirements in the file. And the third is SMIME, and SMIME is used a lot with our government organization customers. It allows you to sign and encrypt information with SMIME. The third aspect of this data protection area is around retention policies. You want to retain the data that you want to keep. So we have retention policies that allow you to keep that. And if you have employees who are under maybe a legal investigation or legal cases, you want to be able to enforce legal holds on documents. We provide a one-stop area where you can enforce legal hold across your office documents and your emails. And the other area is maybe you want to make sure you delete data that you don't need to retain. So we have deletion retention policies that you can implement to delete those files that you no longer need to keep. So these are some of the areas that we offer protection on the data side. The next area I'd like to cover is really around protecting yourself against malicious attacks. So one of the things we're seeing nowadays is that back in about 2003 or 2004, a lot of the attacks were just from, you know, maybe folks, maybe people who just wanted to see if they could attack someone, and they downloaded some scripts and toolkits and maybe tried to initiate some attacks against companies or other banks and things like that. So the motive here is really mischief. It wasn't really trying to really cause a lot of damage. But what has happened recently is that we see now organizations, organized crime, actually going in and actually attacking, targeting enterprises to get at identity information about their customers and consumers, and the whole goal here is profit. So you see a lot more sophistication in the level of attacks occurring nowadays. You probably hear in the news almost every month now different companies getting compromised because of some attack that has occurred. So this is getting a lot more serious now because these attackers are a lot more sophisticated. They're using a lot more sophisticated tools, and they're actually a lot more organized in how they perform their attacks. And recently, you see this being escalated even more with even nation states now getting involved. For example, even last year, you see these nations attacking different companies and organizations. Locally we had a company that got attacked potentially by a nation state. So these are huge organizations now, nations getting involved, trying to attack different companies, either to cause disruption, to get identity theft there, or IP theft. So the stakes are getting higher, and the requirements to protect your data is getting higher and higher. So I wanted to talk about a couple of the things we're doing at Microsoft to help you against that. Two of the key things that we're doing is something to allow you to protect against zero-day attacks. So because these organizations want this data, a lot of the traditional ways of protecting your data are getting basically obsolete because they're creating their own attack vectors. And so a lot of times the antivirus preventers and malware preventers, they base the work on signatures to detect that attack. But a lot of these times there are to be what we call zero-day attacks where they're initiating an attack where there's no signature available. So how do you protect against that? The other common attack vector that we're seeing in our companies and our customers is that it's a common phishing attack. So, for example, here at Microsoft, we have 100,000 people. How can we guarantee that those 100,000 people, none of them get an email from an attacker and they accidentally click on a phishing link and thereby compromise their machine? This is getting very serious now because a lot of our, I don't know how many employees you have in your organization, but how can you guarantee that every one of those your employees who might be getting an email don't accidentally click on a link and expose themselves to a phishing attack? And this is how, in fact, a lot of the compromises are happening in these organizations, is that they're not battering through your firewall to get into your corporate data. They're coming around the back end to your employees and employing these phishing attacks against them, and that's how they're getting inside. So how do we help you protect against those two key attack vectors? So one of the things we're excited to talk about today is something called advanced threat protection, and we'll be driving to that as well. So with that, I'd like to now jump into a demo to kind of highlight these capabilities. So I'm going to go ahead and switch my machine now here to the demo.
So here you see I have my mailbox here. In this scenario, I'm playing Karenberg. And I have my mailbox here. And in Office 365, we offer our customers a 50 gigabyte mailbox currently. So you have 50 gigabytes of space where you can store your mail, which is significantly higher than a lot of our customers have on premise. Now, if you notice down here, slightly below that, I have an area called the Online Archive. Now, the Online Archive, we offer unlimited space there. So you have basically an unrestricted amount of space in the Online Archive. Now, one of the key points on the Online Archive is that it's only available if you're connected to the internet. Now, what we can do between the two is set up retention policies. What retention policies allow us to do is be able to set up policies, for example, a move policy, which will allow us to move mail from the primary mailbox to the archive mailbox. So a common policy that our customers have is that they want to move mail after 2 years from the primary mailbox to the archive mailbox. And maybe you have a policy where you don't want to keep mail around for a long time, so you can set up a deletion policy where mail gets deleted, for example, out of the Online Archive after 7 years. So now you have a move policy and a deletion policy. Okay, so that's mail policies. The next thing I want to jump into now is encryption. I want to show you two forms of encryption. The first form is something called Office 365 message encryption. And we use that to collaborate with anyone else on the internet. So in this fictitious example, I'm going to collaborate with Lisa Sampson, and she's applying for a home mortgage. And since I'm going to go ahead and send her information back that she has sent to us, so I'm going to go ahead and send it, Lisa. And what I'm going to do here is put the word encrypt in the subject line. Here's her home loan application. And maybe this contains her personal information, so I don't want to send it over the internet unencrypted. So what I did here was I put the keyword encrypt in the subject line. And what I did here was I created a transport rule, which basically says if it sees the word encrypt in the subject line, it's going to apply Office 365 message encryption. And this is one of the forms of encryption that we have in the server. So I'm going to go ahead and send that. The next thing I want to do is I want to collaborate with my colleague, Julian. And Julian works within our company. So since he works within our company, Contoso here, I can also apply something called our second form of encryption, which I want to show here is called information rights management. So I'm going to go ahead and email Julian, and I'm going to say this is Lisa's loan application. And one of the things I'm going to go here, I'm going to go to Outlook. I'm going to go ahead and say I'm going to apply. Notice here I have different policies I can apply. I can say I can apply a confidential policy or a do not forward policy. So not only will this policy encrypt that message, but it also restricts the type of actions the recipient can do upon this message. This is what we call information rights management. So in my case, I'm going to go ahead and pick the do not forward policy. And notice what happens here as I do that. It specifies to me that recipients can read this message, but they cannot forward, print, or copy this content. So I'm going to go ahead and do that. Okay, I'm going to send that to Julian. Now, the primary difference between those two forms of encryption is that the first one, the Office Message 365 message encryption, makes no assumption upon the recipient's mail client. They can be using Gmail, Yahoo, anything out there. That will work with anybody's mail platform. What I just sent, the second message, with which we call information rights management, requires that the recipient have, in this case, Outlook, to be able to decrypt it, that message, and apply those policies. If anyone else receives that message, they'll get, then they'll need to download a viewer to decrypt that message. But in order to really take full advantage of the policy management pieces, they'll need to use Outlook. So in this case, I've done those two things. Oh, one other thing I wanted to drop into next is the data loss prevention piece. Now, Julian also wanted a list of our customers that we had who are applying for home mortgages. So I'm going to go ahead and attach that Excel file here. So this is our home loan applicants. Now notice as I attempt to send this message, I get another policy tip here. And what it says here is that this message can't be sent because it appears to contain sensitive information. This is our data loss prevention technology kicking in here. This will prevent the scenario maybe where you don't, maybe you want to warn users that they may be accidentally sending information to the wrong person, people, or outside the company. In this case, what we created here was a policy, and what it keyed off of here was that in this attachment, it detected that we had credit card numbers in this file. So maybe we don't allow credit cards to be numbers to be sent through email. So with the DLP, data loss prevention technology, we can specify out of the box, it can look for key patterns, in this case credit card numbers, and decide what to do. You can decide from blocking the message at the far extreme, maybe allowing the user to override it, in this case is what we did here, or maybe you want the system to encrypt that message automatically for the user. Maybe they forgot to do that. Or maybe you just want to warn the user, or at the far extreme, just report on it to see what kind of information is flowing around in your company. We can also designate whether or not you want to apply this rule just to mail sent externally to the company, so you don't care what's happening internally. Or if you want it to happen both internally and externally, you can specify that as well. One of the latest capabilities we added was something called document fingerprinting. What that allows us to do is take a template. For example, maybe you have a template of a tax form or something that you would like to ingest into the system. And now whenever that the email is sent with that template, the DLP policy can kick in based upon that document fingerprint. Now I'm going to switch to Ali, and he's going to show you what he sees on his side after receiving these messages.
Thank you, Dean. So for the next couple of minutes, I'm going to play two different roles. One of them is Lisa Sampson. She's somebody outside as a customer, which as you guys saw previously, Dean or Karen actually sent an email which was protected. So what I'm going to do now, I'm going to go ahead and use my iPad. And as you can see, I have all the Office app installed, which is great, but I'm going to go ahead and use the Outlook app for this purpose. So now I have access to all of my emails. I see that there is an email from Karen Berg and it has the encrypt. And this tells me that this message is encrypted already. This is a perfect way that anybody from any organization can share personal information or confidential information, ensuring that the data is protected by leveraging the Exchange Online and Office 365. So I'm gonna go ahead and open this up, the email. It tells me that, hey, you know, this is a protected message and there is a message.html. I'm gonna go ahead and select that. Now, as you can see on the screen, in order to open the protected message, I need to have an app installed. So I'm gonna follow the direction. I don't remember if I have the app installed or not. So I'm gonna go to download it now. And as you can see, it's called Office 365 Message Encryption Viewer. It looks like that we already installed it. So I'm gonna simply go ahead and open this up. Now, the next screen basically gives me two options. I can either sign in with my Microsoft Live account, or I can get a one-time passcode. Let's go ahead and use the one-time passcode. So as you can see, we're connecting back to the backend, and the system, the Office 365, will provide the user a passcode that can be leveraged to enter and open the document. So in this case, I already used the passcode before, and as you can see, now the email is available and I can look at it, although this is already secured and nobody else except me can open and view the document. All right, with that, let's switch to the next persona. In this case, Julian Isla is the person who was working with Karen in a previous demo, and see, you know, what would be the experience for him to work with the confidential information on top of Office 365. All right, now that we saw how Lisa managed to have access to the protected message using the Office 365 Exchange Online encryption or encrypted messages, let's see what would be the experience for somebody who is part of the organization. In this case, I'm gonna play the role of Julian. And as you recall, Karen already sent an email both to Julian and also to Lisa. So now I'm working from home. I'm working on my Surface Pro 3 and also have all the Office client installed. As you can see, I have the Outlook and I see the same email. Let's see what would be the experience and what's the difference between somebody inside the organization and somebody who was outside like Lisa. So I'm gonna go ahead and simply click on Karen Berg. And as you can see, because I'm part of the same organization, the write protection is already kicked in and I can already see the message right within the Outlook. So I don't need to go and add the pass key or credentials as somebody who was outside the organization. That makes it really easy to protect the information, again, inside and outside the organization. So the next thing I would like to do, I also asked Karen for a list of customers that we have, and he tried to send it via email, but the DLP didn't allow him to do that. Now that I have access to the same file, I would like to put this on my OneDrive, OneDrive for Business, and this is how I can easily share and update the document, the customer list, with other colleagues within the organization. So I already put the documents or Excel file in the OneDrive. I'm gonna go ahead and open up my browser. And as you can see, using the browser or OneDrive for Business app, I can have secure access to all the documents that I work with on a day-to-day basis. But one thing I notice here is that the customer list has a stop sign icon. And pretty much, it tells me that for some reason, access to this piece of information is not allowed on OneDrive for Business. And if I look at the policy, it says that it conflicts with a policy in my organization. So what I can do right now, I can see what are the limitations and what was the policy that applied to this piece of Excel document that I put on OneDrive for the Business. As you can see, it shows that I wanted to share this with somebody outside of the organization, so that was not allowed to do. And also it has some sensitive information like credit card information. This is how we can apply the same rules for the DLP and Exchange Online as we can do for SharePoint Online and OneDrive for Business. So again, it's gonna be a unified compliance center that we're gonna show you guys later in the demo that allows me to apply these rules regardless of whether the end user is using Exchange, SharePoint Online, OneDrive for Business. And as an IT, from IT perspective, you know, we have full control to protect the IP and also the information that is sensitive for your organization. So what I can do next is that I know that we have a secure repository on SharePoint Online that we can easily put this type of sensitive information. I'm going to go ahead and use the OneDrive for Business client and simply drag and drop the file, and that should be protected automatically. Now let's see how it works. All right, so in this case, I'm going to switch to the Windows Explorer. That's the easiest way that I can, you know, copy back and forth between my computer and also with the SharePoint Online by using OneDrive for Business Sync client. So as you can see, I have the customer list Excel file, and all I have to do is to just simply drag and drop this into the contract portal customers. Now, this points to a library on SharePoint Online, which is already set up to be write protected. That means from an end user perspective, I don't have to do anything extra. It takes a couple of seconds, and the file should be synced now. Now, if I switch back to the browser and go to the contract portal site, I simply select the customer's document library. And as you can see, the file is already added. Now, if I want to open this up, I simply click on it. And in this case, by using Excel Online as part of the Office Online, I should have secure access to this document. As you can see, there is a notification that tells me that this document is write protected. And even if I want to use the Excel client, in this case, I can simply go ahead and double click on the file. And in a couple of seconds, I should have the protected information available using the Excel client. So regardless of whether I'm using the Excel app or the online version, I have secure access to the information, and we can control how this information is being shared internally and externally. Now, in the case that you know you guys have a hybrid environment, you can easily use Azure RMS to protect both your online properties information and also your on-premises. And that's something that if you guys need assistance, you can talk to MDC or you know people who are working with you from our end to help you guys implement that. All right, now that we're done with that, the last thing I would like to show quickly is from an administrator perspective or from an admin perspective, how we can apply all this setup and you know this configuration in your Office 365 tenant. In order to show that, I'm going to switch my view to the Office 365 admin portal. Now, in order to have access to this part of Office 365, you need to have proper credentials, and this is something that usually folks from the IT have access to this side of Office 365. Something that we recently announced is the Compliance Center. So in the past, we had all this set up separately for Exchange and for SharePoint, and again, I mean, it was kind of a tedious task to be able to apply all this policy and retention policy to both ends. Now with the unified compliance center, I can go to one place and be able to apply all the settings tenant-wise. If I go to the compliance center, I see that I have options to set up DLP for Exchange Online, DLP for OneDrive for Business. We cannot go through all these setups, but it's just a quick overview of you know what's available and accessible. If you decide to use Office 365, we're already using Office 365 and I have access to this type of capability. If I go to the data loss prevention, I can easily see that we already defined a set of rules for our OneDrive for Business, and that was the reason that earlier I couldn't you know, upload the document to the OneDrive for Business, because we already put some policies for data security standard, PCI, and also the US financial data. We have more than 55 different rules that you can apply for both Exchange and SharePoint Online, and there are really easy, more like a visiting type of process that you can go and apply, or even create your own rules and policy and apply to the documents, hopefully on online, and also if you go with a hybrid, to have the hybrid for on-prem and online at the same time by using the same tool sets that you are becoming familiar with. With that, I'm going to pass over to Dean.
Hey, thanks, Ali. As a quick recap of the demo,
we showed you the email archiving and retention policies available in Office 365. Then we walked through the Office 365 message encryption, which allows you to encrypt email and be able to send it to any recipient, regardless of mail platform that they might be using. Then we showed you a scenario where we could enforce policy and encryption with the rights management services, where I tried to email that spreadsheet with the credit card numbers and the system blocked me and prompted me for the, warned me about the policy that we had enforced there. And Ollie actually showed you the corresponding capabilities in SharePoint and OneDrive with our data loss prevention technologies available in those areas. And also our secure file message sharing, our secure file sharing with OneDrive. And next, what we'd like to drop into is to show you some of the exciting new capabilities that we have with our advanced threat protection. And for to do that, I invited one of our security specialists, Curtis Parker, to join us today. So with that, I'd like to welcome Curtis.
All right. Thanks, Dean. So again, my name is Curtis Parker, and I'm a member of our Office 365 product team, and I focus on our information security technologies in the cloud in Office 365. Today, we're going to talk about Microsoft Exchange Online Advanced Threat Protection. I think it's good to start with understanding, to get an understanding of the threat landscape and why we need to be protected against these advanced targeted attacks. Okay, let's get more familiar with the traditional protection versus protection against an advanced attack. Think about it like this. You have traditional antivirus engines that are being used by a lot of organizations. Those traditional signature-based antivirus engines, for example, are just not adequate enough to protect against the advanced threat, the threat that a signature has not been created for yet, or the unknown zero-day threat. Another thing is that without the proper levels of forensic reporting capabilities, organizations don't often have in-house the ability to recognize when an attack has happened or who was affected by it. Another thing to mention is that most organizations are either not currently protected for the threat of the malicious URL, or they're beginning certainly to look at that, but that needs to be considered as well. You know, if a user innocently visits a website, you want to make sure that whether they're on their PC or mobile device, you know, that they're protected. So we have introduced at Microsoft a new service called Exchange Online Advanced Threat Protection. And this service is actually going to help protect you against the key areas that I mentioned. One, there's a feature of Advanced Threat Protection called Safe Attachments. And this is going to specifically protect your organization against the unknown or the zero-day threat. It's also going to provide reporting capabilities so that you can understand the time a user was affected by this, or your organization was affected by this, you know, who was affected by it, you know, again, when did it happen, and what it was. So you'll be able to see the name of the potential threat or the threat that was detected. So you have a clear picture as you're investigating, you know, doing your investigative, research and things. You have an understanding of exactly what happened. And I also mentioned, you know, I talked about the URL threat, you know, the malicious URL threat. So there's another feature of Exchange Online Advanced Threat Protection called Safe Links. And what Safe Links is going to do is provide that real-time, you know, time-of-click protection to be able to rewrite and inspect a URL that points to a particular site that a user may click on. So if they're in their inbox, they click on a link, you'll know that the protection will be there and inspection will occur and block a malicious site. Okay, so there's reporting capabilities there as well. You can find out that same level of reporting that you had in Safe Attachments, as well as in the same way with our URL protection. And lastly, again, as I mentioned, there's reporting in specific areas that you'll go to access this level of reporting. So it's really good information. Now I wanted to kind of give you an idea of our service architecture, but first wanted to mention that we have another service that would complement Exchange Online Advanced Threat Protection, and it's called Exchange Online Protection. Now, this will be sort of the mother service to this protection. And what Exchange Online Protection is going to provide is your antivirus scanning with three signature-based best-of-breed scan engines, as well as anti-spam mechanisms, that you would expect in terms of reputation filters, envelope blocks, and the ability to create, you know, create custom rules that are, you know, that your organization needs to in order to target or, you know, perform certain types of filters. So with that said, EOP or Exchange Online Protection will perform its filtering, and then Advanced Threat Protection will kick in. So let's look at that flow. So a sender is sending your organization an email, and it's received by Office 365. It's scanned by Exchange Online Protection, and with Exchange Online Advanced Threat Protection enabled, if there is a suspicious attachment, you know, that's detected, it would actually be scanned in our detonation chamber. And we're going to be looking for things like, is it making registry calls? Is it trying to make requests for some elevated admin privileges and things of that nature? If there is a threat, the message will be sent to the trash or will be removed. Okay. Let's move forward in the message flow and talk about the recipient experience, because the user receives email as normal, but there's a link within that email that they need to click on. Anytime they click on that email, you know that protection is there by safe links, and it's going to inspect that URL for maliciousness. Okay, so you know, that's a high level look at what the service can offer and kind of some of the functionality is. Now let's take a look at what it actually looks like in a demo. All right, so now we're looking at the actual product. So this is Exchange Online Advanced Threat Protection. You'll know that it's been enabled and ready for you to create your policy by taking a look at the actual Office 365 administrator console and looking on the left side, and you'll see a section called Advanced Threats. Okay, when you click on that, you'll see two options. You'll see the Safe Attachments feature, and you'll see the Safe Links feature. So first, let's take a look at the safe attachment options that you have to configure. So I'm gonna click on this plus sign to access our policies. So you'll give your policy a name, and then you'll scroll down just a little bit, and you'll see the actions. You can turn the protection off. Maybe there's a specific need or a group that you need to target, and you don't want them to be affected by this particular level of protection. You can do that. You can certainly monitor, and what that would do is perform a skip and detect type of action, and not perform an action, but let you know that it has detected a particular threat. Another option is to block. And when you select block, this is a very cool feature because it will actually block the threat forevermore, block the email and the attachment. But you want to make sure that you've configured this option to redirect here, because if the message gets blocked, you definitely want to know what it was and when it happens. And again, it's being blocked because of a zero-day threat, but you definitely want to configure an email address here to get that notification. And the nice thing about that notification is not does it alone tell you what happened, but it also contains the actual threat. There's some organizations that have the need, from a forensic investigative perspective, to have the actual virus, to have the threat for various testing or educational knowledge. So that's a nice thing that's there. So you want to also make sure that you tightly guard that particular inbox and only have the proper access in place for that, because it will contain these threats, okay? Moving forward, another option is to replace, and this will replace the threat, but replace it with a clean TXT with a notification within that, okay? So what you can do is, once you've configured this, you scroll down just a little bit, but once you've configured this, you can also apply this to a specific user, group or domain, a user or a group, or a domain. So you can really create a targeted experience in terms of these, the level of control that you have. Okay. To complement that, let me show you the reporting experience that you get. So this is the tracing functionality, the reporting capability. So I've already highlighted a result here, and I can see that Advanced Threat Protection has actually performed an action. So I can see the date, the time, that it came from the protection Advanced Threat Protection service, and I can also be able to, you know, I'll also be able to tell what the status of it is. So it's very clear information that you'll have here. Okay. Let's go back into Exchange Online Advanced Threat Protection and take a look at Safe Links. Now, what Safe Links is going to do is again, be focused on the URLs. So this protection can be turned on or off. Here, we'll turn it on. And then you have the option to say, I don't want to track the user clicks, okay? But it's very useful to track the user clicks so you know the URL that they clicked on. You'll know when it happened and things of that nature. So recommended to go ahead and turn that on. Another option is to say, don't allow users to click through to the original URL. So that would mean that the user gets a block page, block landing page, telling them that the site is malicious, you can say, don't allow them to click through to the original URL. So that would prevent, you know, further infection. So an example of that is, I'm going to switch over here to our inbox here. And what you'll see is I've already sent, two test emails to trigger the service. And one of these here has hyperlinks in it. And there's one here, says signature, the email signature from the original sender. And if I click on that, it'll take me to their company page, take me right to Microsoft.com, no problem. Okay, but there's also other links within that email. And one of those tells me to click here to sign into my account. So if I click on that, you can see a big difference in the experience. One, you get a big red landing page. And this is SafeLinks in action. And it's telling me that this site has been classified as malicious. It's also showing me what the URL was. And it gives me the option to actually click through. Although not recommended, they could actually potentially click through that. And in the reporting, you'll be able to tell what site was blocked, who clicked on it, when it happened, and if they actually clicked through to it. So very helpful information. All right, so let's take a look back at the other email I have, which would actually trigger our safe attachments feature. Okay, so the second email I have is from an admin perspective, and it actually contains the notification. So when I talked earlier about the redirect notification that you want to make sure, or the redirect email address that you have, that you want to make sure is configured, this is the result of that. So I can see, you know, information about who the sender was, where it was going to, what time this occurred. But the key thing here is if I have the block action configured to where it deletes the threat forevermore, the email and the attachment, I can click on this and actually see the actual virus or the actual threat that was detected. So again, very helpful information as it could be used for educational purposes within the organization, but also in some sorts of forensic levels of investigation. So this is the service. This is a brand new service from Microsoft. Again, it's called Exchange Online Advanced Threat Protection. We look forward to speaking with you about this. You can certainly contact your account team. And if you need any help from me, have any questions, please let your account team know, and I'll be more than happy to assist you. All right, so that's what I wanted to show you today. Hope you all have a great day, and thank you for your time.
mute. I turned off my mic. Sorry about that. Anyway, that was awesome, Curtis. I'm sorry we're running a little bit over on time. There were a couple questions. We're going to post a deck. We're going to post a deck after the session and the recording as well. You can just go back to the same site. I listed some resources here that you can go at to get further information. There's the Trust Center. We would go into deep detail on our compliance and security and privacy. The blogs, blogs.office.com is great because we're talking about all the new capabilities coming out. We just touched a thin surface of all the new things that are coming out. We also have a roadmap site. We also had our biggest conference of the year, our technical conference called Ignite. You can go to this site here, channel9.msn.com. We have the recordings of all the sessions there where you can get deep, each of these topics we covered today, you can go into deep detail. I think there's 75-minute sessions on a lot of these tech topics that we just covered here today. We also have a YouTube channel where you can go check out. We have short 15-minute segments on the latest features, and again, you can go check those out as well. Anyway, if you wanted more information, I hope you got a lot of value out of today. It was great to talk to you. If you want to get more information on any of these topics, please reach out to the person who contacted you. If you want to learn about the next session, you can go to this site called aka.ms/mtcstudio. I know we had just have a couple minutes. I thought we'd just open a couple minutes for Q&A. So I want to bring Curtis back on. I don't know if we can bring him online right now. Hey, Curtis, how you doing, man? So I think there was a couple questions here. The ones I saw, Curtis, any particular questions on safe links, safe attachments, or any other things like that? I just was looking through the list here. There's a question that just came in I didn't answer about enabling RMS. There's just search online and you can see the policy on how to encrypt how to enable RMS. Hey Curtis, is advanced threat protection in preview right now?
Actually, it's currently available, so customers can go to, customers can actually go and actually purchase this today. So if you go within your Office 365 portal, on the left side, you'll see billing, and then you can select subscriptions, and then select your current Office 365 subscription. And then on the right side, you'll see add add-ons, and you can actually see it there. That's where you'll see it. So it is available today.
Awesome. There's another question that came in here, Curtis. Will forwarded mail with SafeLink replacement keep the original format, or will the URL and the hyperlink be, I just scooted up.
Maintain, yeah. Yeah, so, if a message gets forwarded from, the original recipient, it'll go on with the link intact, to its to the forwarded recipient. So, there's no altering there. So it will remain intact.
Okay. But I'm sorry, I know we ran over. We were trying to pack a lot of information into a short time period. Let's see. Deal with the question. Encryption of data at rest. So there's one question about encryption of data at rest. The data is encrypted. We are right now for email, we encrypt the storage at rest, and in SharePoint, we encrypt the files. There's a great session at Ignite about that as well. So I'd recommend taking a look at that. It's pretty intricate how we actually encrypt all the files on our file system. But that session goes into great detail on how we have all those keys and how there's multiple keys for even every 8 kilobyte segments, I believe, is what it was. But anyway, if there's no further questions here, I think we're going to say thank you for attending this week's session. Again, we appreciate it. We'll be posting the session, the presentation and the recording of this session to the same location that you went to register. And we want to sign off and thank you for attending. See ya.